Hello and welcome to the Pickup WNBA podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Nyker.
And I'm your other host, Freddie Rivas. How's it going?
Well, this is episode 37, and it is the Brittany Griner is Free episode.
Yes, it is.
This is a very special, unplanned, unpredicted, very much hoped for episode. We're finally here. You know, we're recording this on Saturday, December the 10th. Brittany Griner was let go from a Russian penal colony. Really glad. I hopefully don't have to say that word too many times now.
Yeah.
Just this past Thursday, we've been freaking out. We've been so excited. Freddie's life and my life have just been so crazy. This is basically the time we have together to do this. This is like a bit of an emergency pod, as people like to say.
It is absolutely surreal. I woke up to the news, and I cried. I told my partner. I texted you, or you know, I messaged you. And we had just done our podcast, and you know, we always, especially in these last couple, I guess, you know, episodes, had talked amongst ourselves like that. We didn't want to just, you know, play on the hope of Brittany's release. So we wanted to talk about things that were substantial. And we did, you know, very briefly at the end mention that Anthony Blinken on Face the Nation was talking about how they were still working on Griner's release, but obviously we had no idea how immediate that was going to be. And I'm sure, you know, for many reasons, it was kept a pretty tight secret. Like, I don't think anyone had much of an inkling of just how close this was. But yeah, just absolutely overwhelmed. And happy, and I mean, like, I think me and you and this podcast aside, it really kind of, for me, put a spotlight on Brittany not just being like a topic of conversation, like, you know, Brittany being a person that was unlawfully detained. And I found myself thinking about her first interaction, you know, in the airport and being apprehended and, you know, having no idea, no one having any idea that this was going to turn into, you know, 294 days. Right. Mm-hmm. And thinking about how, like, the horror of that, really. And so, like, yeah, like, sad in that way, but just so, so happy that her release was, like, yeah, the first person who put it out was Biden's Twitter account, right? So it's like, that's as official as it could possibly get. And yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I woke up to your text, to messages from other people, and I was like, what? No.
Like, I know.
I almost didn't believe it at first. And then I saw it. It was like, oh my God. I was actually supposed to meet up with my writing partner, Daniel Rosenberg. Shout out to him. I canceled our plans. I was like, I can't meet up. There's too much going on.
Yeah.
Brittany's free. Suddenly my morning's very busy now. I was thrilled. I had moments of feeling overwhelmed. I had some feelings of sadness as well. You know, not just thinking about her experience, but also, you know, we're going to get into it all, but just, you know, you'd think something like this would be, you know, something well received by more people, but, but overall I was just so happy. And then I had to record my NBA podcast that day. And then Celine Dion released a statement.
Yeah.
You know, that she's going through some really hard, you know, health problems at the moment. And then I was sad. And then I started my MBA podcast, I was like, Catherine, don't cry. Catherine, don't cry. It was it was emotional. It was a lot. But overall, you know, we're so excited that she's back and there's so much to talk about in regards to this. So we know she's been sent to a facility in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And she's being, you know, evaluated for both her physical and mental health. We don't know how long, like what her timeline is there or anything, but it sounds like she's under some good care while she's there. I read a report that she's spoken to her family and she's looking forward to seeing them. I don't know. I would assume by now she's been reunited with Sherelle, her wife, Sherelle, yeah. But you know, all of that is still, remains to be seen. Yeah, I mean, you know, I want to talk a little bit about Paul Whelan as well, but Freddie, I don't know if you want to say more about our, just our initial reactions first before we move on.
No, I think, yeah, like for me, you know, it was just, overwhelmed with joy. And, my part-time job is at a museum and, I basically, like, you know, not everyone has been following this case because, you know, there's a lot going on in the world and, you know, not mm-hmm. everyone knows about it, et cetera. But every, you know, people will come up to you and ask how you're doing. And I basically launched into talking about this immediately. And, you know, all my like colleagues were sort of like, oh, that's amazing. But, you know, kind of like not really expecting me to come from that angle, but it's all I could think about. It's all I could talk about. And yeah, my kind of initial reaction turned into me basically consuming anything, you know, anything positive with, you know, with regards to Brittany Griner's release.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I saw a statement from Sherelle, online. I think in Canada it was TSN's The Shift Instagram account that posted it. Shout out to them. It's a really good show. Posted a video statement from Sherelle, and then she said, you know, we keep Paul's family, like, you know, in our hearts and minds, and as happy as we are for ourselves, we know it's a really difficult day for them.
Yeah.
Really love that she, you know, said that right away. Mm-hmm. And then it made me think, oh my God. Yeah, Paul's not a part of this.
Yeah.
Because for months and months and months, and we even talked about him on this podcast, he's an American wrongfully detained in Russia.
Yeah.
He's been there since 2019,
yeah.
So since the Trump administration, and they have not been able to free him for whatever reason. And there's a lot of concern around this. First of all, I can't even imagine how hard Thursday must have been for his family,
yeah,
to see Brittany Griner free and for him to not be a part of it, especially after months and months and months of negotiations and talks around it, that the arms dealer Victor Bout would be traded potentially for the both of them. But the negotiations did not go that way. You know, President Biden decided to pull the trigger to do a one-for-one trade. Apparently that was not an easy decision to make, according to several reports that I've read. There's been a lot of articles that have gone around, so we've done our best here to try and capture it all. But I read something about Paul Whelan. Crap, I meant to, you know, when you're like, I meant to keep that tab open.
Yep.
But apparently Paul Whelan, health-wise, I was reading this in the New York Times, is not doing very well health-wise.
I heard that a long time ago that, you know, he had been struggling, but I hadn't read anything recently, like in relation to the Griner release.
Right. It's in my, now I'm getting the paywall because I didn't leave my tab up. But no, I mean, apparently he, according to the New York Times, and it's always, as we have learned over these last months, it's hard to get, you know, very specific information out of Russia.
Yeah.
But this article came out a few days ago, and apparently he is currently in a Russian hospital, in a Russian prison hospital. or they're concerned about his transfer to a prison hospital because he needs one. I'm so sorry that I don't have that in front of me, everyone. I meant to, but maybe his health status had something to do with not being able to have him be a part of this. I'm really not sure. But I also felt a heavy heart about it. I don't know if other people who have been following this case with us felt the same way, but I felt a very, very heavy heart about Paul Whelan not being a part of this.
Yeah, I certainly did. You know, I found it to be pretty devastating news, and, you know, we'll get just the, I think the kind of like negative sort of toxic side of it later. But to me, the more important perspective is a compassionate one. And Paul is wrongfully detained and has no business being in a Russian prison. You know, again, we'll get to the negative stuff later and kind of the talk around Victor Bout and what, you know, the jokes around like trades and that sort of thing. You know, a lot of the disgusting stuff, but I thought it was important that everyone from you know, like Britney's camp, from the WNBA, you know, was focusing on the fact that that Paul's release is important. It shouldn't be forgotten. And this is just, you know, I don't have like a quote on this, but something I've been feeling a lot since reading this is just how tactical it was to, you know, from the Russian side to make this kind of conversation ugly when really this is something so positive. Even, you know, yeah, the focus on anything but Britney's freedom is kind of like there's a strategy behind that. But yeah, you know, really, Paul should be free, and it's just an absolutely devastating day for his family, for the people who are working on his release. And one thing that the Griner family said as well is that they you know, they've received a lot of support from the Whelan family. So, you know, these families are very united. And I think the Whelan family is also very happy for the release of Griner, which is very important to me. But
yeah, did you see that in a statement?
I did. Yeah.
Okay, good. That's yeah, great. That's
that
great.
They were, you know, I just, you know, I just Googled as we were talking that, you know, I guess the 15 hours ago, there's so much coming out, but Paul Whelan's brother slams Trump after prisoner swap criticism, just because, yeah, again, we'll get to the backlash stuff, but you know, I think a lot of times in these situations, the politics get carried away very fast, and people don't really go to the source, and the sources of the families, you know, they're not really mincing words. They're very happy that this happened, and they're very sad that Paul Whelan, you know, that he wasn't released, that didn't happen. So I think you can hold two things here. You can be extremely overwhelmed with joy that Britney is free, and extremely upset that Paul is not.
Yeah, I completely agree. And just to give a bit of an update on what I was saying earlier, because I was able to find more information, because I really want to be, you know, we always want to be as, like, you know, accurate as we possibly can.
Yeah,
here.
Totally.
So Paul Whelan was moved on November 17th to a hospital in the prison where he's being held. And his family didn't hear from him in over a week because they were concerned. He missed a scheduled call on Thanksgiving. Paul was not complaining about any health conditions that required hospitalization. So they've been trying to get a status on his health. And they haven't been able to get one, which would obviously be even more concerning on top of everything else.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure that out on top of everything else. So this was reported by the New York Times. That's all. That's what I have. So, okay. There's been a lot going on. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, trolls and white right-wing extremists and stuff who have been really unhappy about this Brittany Griner situation. They feel like, you know, it goes everywhere from people feeling like she deserves this because of the alleged cannabis oil that was with her. It goes from people upset that she protested the national anthem or said that the national anthem shouldn't be played before games. You know, after everything happened with George Floyd. You know, I think, you know, people are using the Paul Whelan thing now, frankly, as an excuse not to like her. Oh, like he should have been freed. Why was she freed and not him?
Yep.
Victor Bout is a dangerous person. Was it worth it kind of thing? You know, I think all of this is like really upsetting and disappointing, obviously.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I mean, the one thing, if I was being truly bipartisan, I would say, you know, in regards to Paul Whelan, you know, the fact that he wasn't part of this prisoner swap and that they did give up a dangerous person in Victor Bout, who served, one article said 12, another article said 14 years out of a 25-year sentence, is that what will it take now to free him? Right. Because that in a way sets a bit of a precedence. Yeah. Right? Like if it took this dangerous arms dealer to free Brittany Griner, what will it take to free Paul Whelan? But I think you should be able to have that conversation without talking about the fact that Brittany Griner is a black woman and a lesbian and has very left politics and blah, blah, blah. Like, like I hate so much that people are always like, I don't know. I mean, this is like, I know I'm going on a bit of a tangent here.
No.
I just feel like this is literally why people say Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Because every right-wing extremist is couching their language in the idea that maybe her life mattered less.
Yeah.
And it's really fucked up.
Not a rant at all. I you know, I think actually really concisely worded, and couching their language in the fact that Brittany's life mattered less is a really kind of good way to distill the hate and the rhetoric and the dog whistling that we've seen. And yeah, I think that this is something that, you know, you shared an article with me from the Times, by
I don't know why my algorithms keep giving me the Times.
I know, right? By Jonathan Weissman and Ken Bensinger. And yeah, you know, they go through there's a history of this, right? So there's a history of a Democratic president's securing releases with hostile governments and right-wing criticism that, as you said so well, you know, spans from everything to, you know, the attack on patriotism, to attack on, like, you know, who the person is, their family. You know, I would say, just for lack of a better word, like, you know, reckless hate, and not to say that it's sort of clumsy, because I think it's pretty deliberate, especially when you see it coming from politicians as well. Kevin McCarthy, Donald Trump, I'm sure many others. Obviously, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's I would say at this point a very famous off the rails hate filled person. Yeah, you know, I think Putin, not to be like, you know, bring everything back to Russia sort of thing. And obviously I'm not in the mind of the world's most powerful, rich, dangerous man, but
it isn't.
But like, it's like this is important, right? This is like, you know, he's been trying to sow divisive conversation in not just the U.S. U.S. like, you know, government and its people, but like all over the world. And, you know, like, he's not alone. There's many bad actors in the world. And yeah, it's disappointing. It's frustrating. You know, for a later topic, me and you, we're going to talk about, you know, our favorite reactions. And this morning I was looking for my favorite reactions, and it was really hard to navigate away from negative reactions, from comments on the way, you know, yeah, Britney looks, to, as you said, the anthem, her blackness, her queerness, everything. And yeah, it's hard that is such a part of this conversation that unfortunately we can't ignore. But I do think there is a value in kind of denouncing that stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure, like, to some degree, Brittany Griner has gotten a lot of this throughout her life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure she, you know, for being 6'9", for being black, for being queer, for maybe being, you know, for having a low speaking voice, you know, like,
yeah,
all these things, like, I'm sure she's gotten it to some degree her whole life. But I think now the concern is that it's just so much bigger and it's so many more people now. And, you know, she's certainly not used to having a spotlight this big on her.
Yeah, it's a different level of fame. Like, yeah, you know, they've weaponized a lot of the people that would otherwise be indifferent to mm-hmm. her. And now those people, like, you know, in the article you shared, and, you know, it's the second season of the super famous podcast Serial, but Bo Bergdahl was traded right. for five, you know, alleged members of the Taliban. And yeah, Bo Bergdahl reached a level of fame, not just from the podcast, but for being a prisoner that was freed. That is, you know, I think when Fox News and the right wing apparatus, like, targets you, it's a really nasty level of fame and persecution that, I mean, I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem like it's impossible to escape. But I guess my only hope is that it fades over time as they pick new targets, which is super cynical. But I mean, I don't know what to say. I feel like they, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen, to be honest.
Yeah, me either. Exactly.
Like, yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. Sure. I think because even as time passes, you know, come, like, you know, the American election season is pretty wild. And I don't know why people call it a season, because it's really like it feels like it never ends.
Yeah, it's nonstop.
Yeah, it's so long. I wonder if Americans realize that other countries have elections in significantly less time. Like, in Canada, we start and end an election in, I think, 10 weeks.
Yeah, we have, we have strict, yeah, for our American listeners, we have strict laws around how long our election can be.
Yeah, and I feel for that, like, reason, it, you know? Like, the, like, and that includes, like, campaigning and, you know, things like of that nature too. Yeah, in any case, I mean, it's just, I think it's one of those things that could come up, you know, it during a future election, like in 2022, I get, or not 2022, sorry, 2024. You know, it could pop up again. I mean, it just depends on what happens in the future and, you know, how many things do they have to, you know, how many weapons do they have, so to speak.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be high profile for a long time. But, you know, and we're recording this again, like, on Saturday, December the 10th. Who knows how much more information will come out in the next week? Will she do a, you know, a video statement? I mean, I guess this is a good time to talk about, like, next steps.
Yeah. Yeah. And for us too. by the way, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't really talk about this that much before the podcast, but I think I can, you know, sort of speak for both of us, and obviously correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, we're not done covering this story. So,
oh, no, absolutely not.
You know, it's not finished. Yeah, let's get into the next steps. But I think me and you, you know, we've decided to take on the challenge. I still remember the conversation we had when this first happened. Again, I'll speak for myself here, but there's a certain kind of like naivete about covering basketball. I knew that the WNBA was a lot more political than any other sport, for obvious reasons. But I didn't expect to be venturing into such journalistic territory that wasn't about, you know, pick and rolls and.
Yeah. But I don't think it's naive, you know, to not have realized we'd get into this territory.
Yeah.
I mean,
fair.
Pretty extreme. Okay, I mean, yeah. when, yeah, like that's, I mean, that's funny. Cause yeah, when we first decided to cover the league, like, yeah, sure. Did we know it was going to be more political? Absolutely. But I didn't think that was going to go beyond sexism and double standards.
Yeah.
Really, you know what
which
I mean?
Is heavy enough, right?
Which
sexism,
is heavy enough.
Racism, you know, homophobia, they're like pretty.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Substantial things. And then also, I guess, yeah, let's tack on international diplomacy and kidnapping people. For political purposes. Yeah. Prisoners of war. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we just, you know, who knows? And yeah, I mean, I think I remember us saying in one of those early episodes how we were like, we're comedians. Like,
I know we're comedians. And this was, well, cause I think, yeah, I think where I use the word like naive is that I, you know, I have to be honest, I was a little bit afraid because I didn't want to be reckless or irresponsible. And I remember us talking about like what, you know, what amount of us talking about this is, you know, not harmful, but how much should we talk about it? Is this meant to be kept quiet? What are the kind of like, you know, positive steps forward as far as like Britney being released? Like, how long is this going to take? Is the 9-year sentence real? All, you know, all these types of things, like, you know, I think it was kind of,
you know, what's really funny is that this segment was called Next Steps and what you did was look back.
That says a lot about me. But yeah, let's do Next Steps, because I feel like I lost,
no, it's fine,
experience. Yeah,
this was just for us to talk about, like, you know, literally what is next and how there's just so much kind of unknown in terms of like Britney, what she's going to want to do. Obviously it's like in her own time.
Yeah.
You know, whether she's going to play basketball again or not. I mean, I think the fear too, like I was thinking, and I don't know if this is just me being like anxious and negative, was just like, oh God, like if she comes back like this season, like, are they going to need more security around her? Like,
yeah.
Are people going to like try to boo her, something terrible? Like that became my kind of like, one of my fears I thought about, you know, not even thinking about like her actual game or anything like that yet, but just thinking about like, oh, like, would it be, you know, obviously the WNBA and I assume everyone within the league obviously stands with her. But that became an initial worry, concern, anxious, anxiety moment for me.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I was even thinking about the emotional weight of, okay, let's say there's, you know, let's imagine that she's somehow doing okay enough and, you know, basketball is a kind of sanctuary for her. She wants to play again. You know, the, like, how big of an event is her returning? And is that also like, it's not the same as coming back from like injury or pregnancy, or like, it's just, there's so much trauma involved that, you know, what is the level of that? Yeah. What, you know, players greeting her every game she plays, how's this, you know, it just, the emotional weight of everything that is going to happen in regards to Britney being related to the WNBA again is so intense that it's hard to, you know, it's hard to imagine that we're going to get to a point of any type of normalcy, or for instance, like her like battling it out with Asia Wilson. Like, is there going to get to a point where it's like, it's so normal that it's like, oh yeah, Britney's awesome. Phoenix has a chance at the title. You know what I'm saying? Like these types of like basketball narratives, like, will they always just seem totally insignificant? Will we actually kind of like enjoy the release of that? And I think so much of that is going to start and end with Britney. Like, what is her relationship to basketball as far as like, is it going to bring calm to her life, or yeah, is it something that's been
taken or will it change?
Yeah, you know,
right? Like, will she continue to have a relationship with basketball professionally?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know, and I think we'll just have to take it as it comes, obviously. But,
yeah, know, I mean, the other thing too is that, like, you know, she does have a bit of an advocate spirit to her, right? Like, when you think about, you know, how much she was protesting during the height of like George Floyd and Black Lives Matter, and how much she like involved herself. And, you know, we've also learned about like her charity work, like giving like shoes out to homeless people in Phoenix and stuff like that, that like, you know, potentially this could inspire more advocacy work from her. You know, maybe she starts to help other prisoners become free. Maybe she starts to work with like an Amnesty International or something like that. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's just, but it wouldn't surprise me if that became the case, because we've seen that that's kind of the kind of person that she is.
Yeah.
But who knows? Yeah. I mean, it's obviously, it's like no pressure from us or anything. We're just talking about the possibilities. It's not like we're hoping she'll lean one way or the other necessarily.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah. But I think it's also, we're being honest in that, like, you know, I think we're both experiencing the spiral of like, what is, like, you know, yeah, like there's so much, such a build up to this potential moment. And now that we're here, it's like, it's overwhelming. And it's kind of like, okay, wow, we're here. She's in San Antonio, we think. She's likely reuniting with her family, we think. But then after that, it's kind of like,
yeah, who knows?
Now what, you know? You know, is there a long period of quiet? Do things continue to ramp up? Does the league, and do we need to kind of continue to defend her from hateful rhetoric?
Like, I'm sure, yeah, we like, will.
Yeah, I'm sure we will too. But yeah. Anyways, it's like it's overall just like an amazing thing. It's a good thing, but it does make you kind of wonder about what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Freddie, let's talk about some Twitter reactions. Who did you find? Who did you like?
Yeah, so this is fun. You know, I think I'll start with the Phoenix Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Just very simply put, no more days. She's coming home, Orange Heart. Which is beautiful. So I think that was really, and also I kind of enjoyed feeling like, obviously we're not insiders, but this is this moment where we all got to experience. So I enjoyed seeing the tweet of, you know, Euphoria, and the tweet right before it. So the Phoenix Mercury's tweet right before it is Chris Paul, his return, or one of his first games back from injury, is wearing a Brittany Griner t-shirt. We are BG, and Phoenix Suns with the Phoenix Mercury tweeted, it's more than basketball, it's family, which was 15 hours. So it just feels like, you know, like no one knew.
Mm.
It was designed to be that way, I think, right? Like, the tweets back to back are just always, because I got all my tweets, I sort of looked at like that.
Yeah, the no more days really hits hard because we've been counting these days.
Yeah.
In an effort to not forget, which is pretty wild.
Do you want to go one for one here?
I only have a couple.
Four. Yeah.
Okay, no, you just read off your four, and then I have two.
Well, I think
that's wrong. I have three, but you just do all yours first.
Okay, I just don't want to take all yours because I'm wondering, do you also have Breanna Stewart?
No, there's too many reactions. We're not going to have the same people.
Oh, great. That's great. Well, yeah, Breanna Stewart, you know, has arguably been the single most vocal person on Twitter about Brittany Griner, you know, to the point of...
Yeah, on social media.
On social media, sorry.
Yeah.
And, you know, has tweeted the same message every single day. So it was really nice for me to read. It has been 293 days since our friend Brittany Griner has been wrongfully detained in Russia. It is time for her to come home. At White House, at POTUS, at VP, we are paying attention and we are counting on you. Hashtag WeRBG. That was on the 7th, the next day. BG is free, 294 days, and she is coming home. So that was amazing. And then Asia Wilson retweeted, and I think this was sort of important to me in regards to like addressing some of the backlash. It's a Stephen A. Smith thing. I don't even know what's being said exactly. But, and I'm not saying that Stephen A. Smith was, you know, not happy about this. I honestly don't know what his reaction was, but it's a video of him. And the tweet is, luckily, and it's from Devereaux casual fan Peters, but Asia Wilson retweeted, luckily my feed isn't pushing much of the BS, but for all those upset, you can complain, curse, tweet think pieces, speak all your fake outrage till your teeth fall out. I promise you, as far as our community goes, we don't care. We're going to continue to be happy over here.
Hold on. What is this video of Stephen A, though? Is it just a GIF, maybe? Or is it a video?
Let me just... Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so yeah, I shouldn't even be mentioning Steve because it's just a GIF of Stephen A saying...
Because I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he's been generally supportive.
Yeah, okay, yeah, which is important. So, but thank you. This is how you help me out. But yeah, it's actually a gif of him being hilariously, oh, we don't care.
Yeah, so, there we go. Okay.
Because I should have realized that it was 4 seconds. But yeah, so basically, you know, we're going to continue to be happy over here. BG home. Which I think is a nice response to any type of negativity. It's like, great. You're mad? Cool. We are overwhelmed with joy. And then the last one, and it's not a tweet, but Shinee Agumike shared her thoughts on, I don't know Jay Harris, but yeah, on Jay Harris's ESPN show, just about the release. And, you know, just sort of talked about how, you know, being women that are black, 80% black, the league is college educated. You know, she found out from her sister, who's also the head of the players union. And, you know, she just kind of finished by saying, just a reminder that our existence is an act of resistance, which I found really powerful. And, yeah, just also she talked a lot about how much Brittany is not just a player, but she's also like really an important figure to the WNBA and has helped so many of her colleagues. Like she's not just the first person to dunk in the WNBA. She's not just a big player. She's like she's a massive legend in the league.
I thought Lisa Leslie was the first person to dunk in the WNBA.
Oh. Well, I'm going to double check that while you find the tweets. Just to make sure. Because you're keeping me on track.
Okay, I mean, first, Dawn Staley, you can always count on Dawn to have a great statement. She wrote, God's grace is sufficient. Brittany Griner's home, I love you, BG. Billie Jean King, I love Billie Jean King. She wrote, Brittany Griner is free after 294 days in Russian captivity. At POTUS, negotiated a one-for-one prisoner swap. Thank you to President Biden and to all those who worked so hard to secure her freedom. Also, Yvette Nicole Brown, big fan of hers. People might know her from Community and other things like that. Thank you, POTUS. So many people have so much to say about Joe Biden. Well, this is like a real Joe Biden post, but he's a good man who quietly works to make things better for this country. Okay, cool. He and his administration got Brittany Griner out of the Russian prisoner camp in a one-on-one swap while Putin is waging a war. I added that third one here. Last, but certainly not least, is our own Freddie Rivas, who tweeted, I'm crying. Brittany Griner has been freed after 294 days of wrongful detainment. So thank you for that, Freddie. You made one of my favorite tweets.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah, just to clarify, Lisa Leslie is the first person to dunk 2002. I feel like there was some other Brittany Griner dunking fact, which, yeah, I'll look up. Maybe I'll clarify for next pod.
I mean, she does dunk, you know?
Yeah, maybe it's the most dunks. I'm not sure. But I feel like it's something. It's cool. But yes, Elisa Leslie is the first one to dunk. And yeah, great selection of tweets. This was fun to go through. It was fun to see, you know, yeah, sometimes hate can be extra noisy, but it's really heartening to see just how much love and happiness there is surrounding this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it's time for Freddie's fun question.
This is a cool one.
What did we say this was? A Catherine's quirky question?
Catherine's quirky query. I don't know if that's what it is.
Yeah, but I guess technically it is mine, but I'm so used to it being your the Freddie segment that I just typed it as that. Do you want me to read the question then?
Sure.
All right. So I wrote as our Freddie fun question / Catherine quirky question segment, how would we greet Brittany at the airport? Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first because I'm torn between, you know.
Well, I said that we got, like, if we were greeting her at the airport, I would greet her with Beyonce's Renaissance, because I imagine she hasn't had the chance to listen to Beyonce's Renaissance. And that is probably, you know, album of the year for most people, dare I say. It's a pretty amazing album. And, you know, I think also too, like, maybe Lizzo's special album. You know, she probably, you know, I'm just thinking about all the hits this year. Yes. That maybe she hasn't had a chance to hear. So, like, her coming off the plane to About Damn Time could be fun.
Oh my God.
Right? Or, like, yeah. Or, you know, and then followed by Break My Soul. But really, Renaissance is an album you got to listen to from beginning to end and just, you know, turn it into a bit of a block party on the tarmac there to some good 2022 music. That she hasn't had the chance to experience yet, but soon will.
I love it. Yeah, so I was torn between how, like, you know, I really tried to put myself in the place of, like, okay, what amount of, you know, like, action can Brittany handle right away? So I was, like, nervous about overwhelming her. So
I wasn't.
Yes, I know, which is great. We have two different answers. That's great. I'm coming in with
I'm coming in with Beyonce. I'm coming in with Lizzo. I'm coming in with food trucks. Let's go.
Well, okay. So food trucks is closer to mine. Mine is, I don't know what her favorite meal is, but that's there. So I don't know if it's like a meal from her parents or a favorite restaurant. Whatever it is like absolutely ready to go. she can eat that in the car while we're going
in the car.
Well, I mean, like, because, like, I feel like we're, I guess I also didn't think about the very practical, like, going to the medical center. So in my mind, it was sort of like, you know, you meet Brittany.
The question is greeting her at the airport, Freddie.
I know.
We're greeting her at the airport. This is a fictional circumstance.
It is.
Where we just get to greet her at the airport.
But in my head, I'm like, it's like, where do you want to go? But yes, okay. Just at the airport with her favorite meal, with her favorite clothes. I'm basically just getting a long list of her favorite things. And it's like, you get those things back immediately. Does she have pets? They're there. Like,
sure. What? Well, this is one of those things where we get to combine ideas again.
Yeah.
Because you could greet her with all her favorite things, and then we can move it over to the block party.
And if it's fictional, I mean, can we get Lizzo and
Beyonce there? Why not?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Can they
should
come?
Just be there. Yeah, yes. I agree.
Like, you know, can the Mercury be there?
Everyone's there.
Yeah.
Can the Mercury? No, only Lizzo and Beyonce can be there, and the Mercury can.
But yeah, it's fun to think about. It's fun to think about, you know, what she's going through right now, being so much more positive than what she's been through.
Absolutely. Freddie, wow. Wild times. Yeah, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being on this crazy journey with us, to get her home. She's home. That's what's most important. And, you know, obviously we're going to continue following this along with all the WNBA news, you know, every other week, you know, until the regular season starts. Hey, who knows? Maybe she'll show up to the pregame in Toronto, the preseason game in Toronto, Freddie.
Oh, one yeah, can, I'm sure that's one high can on the hope. List.
But thank you all again. And you can follow us at the Pickup WNBA Pod. You know, we have a bit of a delay with our media or our video content, but hopefully we'll be able to get that up again shortly. Thank you all again, and we'll catch you next time.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.